Welcome back to the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. It's been a little while. In our absence, these two guys were doing trivia questions for Big Justice. It's Tommy and JB Huskers. Guys, how's it going?
Pretty good. Just kind of getting closer and closer every day.
Yeah, you know, we got the NFL draft out of the way. Now let's, only 12 million people watched it. But yeah, so we're counting down the days to being able to hopefully have this in our hands.
You know, at local radio station the other day, they kind of made the joke about the old saying, on the cusp. Can you ever be in the cusp? Which I know you can't by the saying, but I feel like we're on the cusp of
it's illegal
finally getting information. So let's get right to the latest news of the day. As we record this, this came out this morning. So this is about as close to emergency podcast as I think we're going to get. So as we start off here, this morning, the big news from Matt Brown with Extra Points with Matt Brown. He's the one who's doing all the homework and legwork. So major props to him. He kind of shared the word about the cover athletes coming to the game this year. There will be multiple cover athletes. So let's go through kind of the rules or guidelines here. There's almost like one of Jigsaw's puzzles here, but I think we can kind of get some good guesses on the cover athletes once we go through all of the rules that he kind of laid out this morning. Multiple cover athletes. Each cover athlete is a current college football player who plays in a different power conference from the rest. The athletes all play different positions. And in a later tweet, Matt came out and said, one of the cover athletes was a legitimate surprise to him. And I will say he never did clarify that I saw that there's only one athlete per cover. And now am I gonna guarantee multiple per cover? No, but that also did not get ruled out that I saw per Matt's kind of guidelines or rules when it came to guessing the cover athletes. So right off hearing that, guys, we don't know how many versions of the game there will be. I think it's safe to say PlayStation 5, safe to say Xbox. We don't know if that includes a Ultimate Team Edition. We don't know if that's a PC version. So we don't know if we're looking at two cover athletes. But I will say, based off Matt's tweets and his appearance on the Paul Feinbaum show this afternoon, I kind of get the impression there's two to three cover athletes. Just sometimes the way he talks and clarifies. He never comes out and gives a number, but just reading between the lines, feels like two or three versions are kind of what we're staring at here. So guys, first off, before we get to Matt's poll options, which I have a take on that as well, what do you guys think about this news that we're going to have multiple cover athletes, all current players?
The all current players is no surprise to me. Again, I've kind of said that all along, that's kind of EA has to lean into that. The first time you can put a current athlete on it, it kind of reinforces the point that, hey, we've got, you know, active players on in our game right away. So to me, that makes complete sense. The different covers, I'm not a big fan of, you know, but I also know that you don't want to single out one guy. I mean, it's different if one guy had just won the Heisman or something like that. But in a case like this where, you know, all of them are trying to step into the limelight for next year, then to me, it makes sense to have multiple. I would be surprised if they're separate across console versions. Like, I would think that if you have it on PlayStation, it's also going to be the same on Xbox, only because you don't want to kind of exclude fans that, you know, are a fan of one particular team and now they have to buy the Xbox version because their favorite players on that version or something like that.
But they have done that before though, in the past, to be fair, the EA has done that back on, was it 09 and 10? They had a different athlete for every version of the game.
And I think to capitalize it on the most, you're going to probably have two different versions. You're going to have the standard version and then a digital deluxe version that's probably $10 to $20 more. And so I think there's going to be four cover athletes for the four big conferences. And then obviously they say different positions too. One, surprisingly, I don't know, is there any hotshot punters out there that are out there like the Iowa punter that got drafted in the fourth round this year? I don't know, but I kind of wonder if the four remaining power conferences are each going to have a representative, and it's going to be two on Xbox and two on PlayStation. I think, unfortunately, though, I don't think the PC. I don't know. I'm not really holding my breath on PC right now. Are you guys in agreement there?
I agree completely. I would not expect
it. Yeah, for first year, I agree completely.
And I will say, Matt did come out and say in one of his tweets, he's not necessarily saying that every power conference will have a representative. So I think that's kind of how we get back to the three versions of the game. Now, again, that's kind of a guess, but he did kind of intimate that he did not guarantee that all the four would have a representative.
Definitely feels more than two, than based on what he's saying.
Yeah, by the way, I think three, but I don't know if I... PlayStation, Xbox, and then whatever the ultimate version is.
Or you have three versions. It's the same athlete for both sides, but it's three different versions. You could do a $10 digital deluxe and then like a $100 digital deluxe. I mean, that's what WWE does every year. So they could be kind of going on that type of deal.
Yeah, that's kind of where I would lean as well, that it's all the same athletes on each version or each console, but that there's three different tiers of which ones you want. So, you know, if you want the backup punter for Hawaii, then you just buy the regular
the vanilla version, $70 version.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I see Matt on his Extra Points blog this morning, he added a poll. He wanted to know who people thought of these options. And I'm not a psychologist, but I will play one on a podcast. If I were in his shoes and I knew the cover athletes, and I get the impression he very much knows who these are, especially when he says one is a surprise to him. If I were him, I think one or two of the names are in here, but not all three. I just don't know if he put one or two in this list. So for those of you listening, we will read the options off real quick. In his poll, he put Quinn Ewers, Carson Beck, Dylan Gabriel, Ollie Gordon, Damian Martinez, which is interesting because he literally just went through the portal and got to Miami, Cam Ward, Jackson Dart, Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter. A couple interesting names that he did not put in there. I know he didn't have enough options. Jalen Monroe did not get in there. Harold Perkins, they're a defensive player. Of course, we have Hunter. So there's definitely some names he did not put in there, that whether it be for space or whether it be potentially actually are the cover athlete, and he's trying not to put it all out there for somebody to find.
EF Sanders, who now is the Vegas favorite to go number one in the 2025 draft. But you also have Travis Hunter, who could be a little more marketable as a slash or two sides of the ball type of guy. I almost think he's more of an exciting pick than Shedeur Sanders in terms of being a cover athlete for the game. But obviously Shedeur is a big name in there. So you got to assume one of the Colorado guys is going to be on there.
Those are the two guys that make me give some credence to, would we have two guys on one cover? You could have a Colorado, one of the versions could be a Colorado version with those two guys. And I think that would be the best way to solve that.
Yeah, that completely makes sense. Again, like JB said, both of those guys kind of are bigger names, you know, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, just names alone, they will draw more people in and everything. So, but how do you pick one versus the other? So yeah, I agree completely that putting them both on there makes complete sense.
When Matt comes out and says that one of the cover athletes was a legitimate surprise to him, what did you guys think? And before we go on to the next, the community guesses, my first thought was, and I'll give you guys time to think on this. There's a couple of different things that come to mind when he says surprise. One could be maybe it's from a program he was not expecting. The one that actually jumps out to me is a true freshman. I think that would be a pretty big surprise to him, that maybe a true freshman player who hasn't not done anything could be on the cover of the game. I'm thinking like a DJ Lagway out of Florida, maybe a Dylan Raiola out of Nebraska, somebody like that. Somebody maybe a high 4 to 5 star quarterback or running back with a lot of hype, because that's what a lot of guys in the dynasty mode like, to get the star players and build a program with them. So I think someone like them, you know, pretty good long shot, but I could see that happening. I guess what, in your guys' opinion, what would constitute a surprise? I know we don't know what's in Matt's head, but what fits that surprise tag?
To me, I guess what fits in there is also a defensive player. I mean, aside from Travis Hunter, you know, finding like a linebacker or safety or something like that, that truly, or defensive lineman for that matter, that truly would be, you know, something we've never even looked at, I don't think.
Right.
That to me, that's a surprise, you know, a true 100% defensive player.
Yeah, it's got to be that, because obviously, you know, the majority of the covers that have gone on in the past have been obviously your offensive guys, usually quarterbacks. So it's been a rare exception there. And so, you know, but is there a defensive guy that is a household name as opposed to some of these other players? That's going to be kind of the question is there one that's going to be marketable enough? Is there someone that is kind of common knowledge to the college football fan, and that's going to be a marketable enough for the title? That's, you know, that's going to be the big question though.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, personally, I don't think that there's a lot of names today. Like, you know, if you had had this a year ago, it'd be a totally different conversation. To me, there was
right.
a lot more names last year.
Yeah.
So whether it's offense or defense or whatever, it's, you know, it, they kind of have a slim pickings, and that's why Shadur and Travis kind of just make sense, as along with Quinn Ewers and, you know, a few others. But at the same time, to me, they're not nearly as marketable as previous years.
Now, if you do a dual cover with Sanders and Hunter, do you throw Deion on there too?
Matt did say that it's all just players.
Okay.
Now, unless he's been misled or not told the entirety, I don't think they'd put a coach on until they get the coaches in the game. Could be wrong. I think the Colorado factor alone with those two guys would be enough. But that is a good question. I'm sure Deion would love to if that's an option.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I mean, he's smart. He's not. He wouldn't turn that down. But
no.
But I'm under the impression from Matt that we will not be getting a Saban cover or a Deion cover, for example.
Yeah. I mean, they've done this with Madden, is throughout the year they kind of change in the covers in and out with different people. So maybe
like the digital
down the road,
cover
they do have a GOAT coaching mode or something like that, that, you know, in January of next year that it is Saban or something like that.
Let's go to some of the community guesses on who the cover athletes might be. Pepe Schultz, still one of our favorites. I think Shadur Sanders and Luther Burden are locks. I would agree with that. Luther Burden, the receiver out of Missouri, he's one I wish I had mentioned a minute ago on Matt's poll options that wasn't included. I think he's one of the leaders in the clubhouse.
Do you think that could be the surprise that he's not mentioning? Because obviously Missouri is not a dominant school. It hasn't really had success since moving to the SEC.
They had a good year last year, but that could be kind of surprising.
I think that'd be very surprising. I mean, of all SEC teams, you're going to pick somebody from Missouri. I mean,
that's
true.
Especially with Texas going to SEC next year. So, I mean, you're going to, you know, bypass, you know, Texas, Oklahoma, or anybody of the traditional powerhouses. So I'd be very surprised.
I could see that. We had Luce, NYL 1804 says we got Cam Ward and Martinez. I think he was going off of Matt's poll options. I can't think they would take somebody who just came through the portal like that. I know Martinez is a great running back. I just don't see it. Even Cam Ward just came through the portal, so I don't know about that. And David Hughes says Aiden Childs is a surprise. He just also left Oregon State and followed Jonathan Smith to Michigan State, the quarterback. I guess that nothing would surprise me. I don't think that I would bet on him, but at this time, their guess is as good as mine. Even as we try to figure out who these cover athletes might be, and hopefully we find out sooner than later, I think we can maybe make some educated guesses based on these posters that have started to appear on college campuses. We've shared these at the Gaming Tailgate. We've put them on our Twitter at Gaming Tailgate. There's going to be about 15 programs that have these posters on campus somewhere. One of the Boise State reporters about 10 days ago kind of let out of the bag that Boise State would be one of them, and that there's 15 schools total. I've gone through and tried to find all of them. So if anybody out here can find the missing three, the 12 that we have found pictures of and have seen through Reddit and Twitter: Alabama, Boise State, Clemson, Florida, Florida State, LSU, Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, and Tulane. Before the show, we were talking about some of the schools that are who could those three missing schools be that maybe the posters aren't up yet, or maybe they just haven't got, maybe they got ripped down before they had a chance to get on
UCF.
Social media. That is, yes, UCF is one. That was the one I had said that is being so close to EA and just the ties developers have there. I'm shocked UCF wouldn't have posters. Georgia is a
especially
big one missing.
I say once you go to Tulane, then UCF kind of makes perfect sense as well.
Yep.
You
know. Yeah.
USC for West Coast programs, we only have Oregon and Boise for what you'd call air quote West Coast programs. And
Washington
Colorado
was in the title game.
There's plenty of good guesses for who the final three might be. So it'd be interesting to see if maybe in the next week or two, if they finally emerge and we get to see who they are. These posters have gone around on the various campuses. Some of them, there seems to be about four different styles. One of them will have like a logo of the school and maybe like the top, what we perceive as the top three or four players. Some list about another eight or so players on the team. Some have a stadium picture, maybe a flag picture or a helmet picture. Pretty cool. One thing I've noticed is that in terms of positions, it lists the edge position for some of the players. We don't know if that means a new depth chart listing in the game, if that's just a position listing, what that means. Tommy, when you saw that, what did you think that we might have something unique when it comes to position names this year?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely kind of catches your attention because, again, that's never been a position that EA's called out, whether it's in college football or Madden. I mean, it's always, you know, they'll have rush end or whatever, but they won't have an edge rusher or whatever. So, yeah, I'd definitely be curious to see if they're actually adding that position in or if they're just renaming the rush end or something like that. So either way, I'm hopeful that they have kind of the Madden, you know, alternate positions that they have that you can kind of the alternate depth chart that you can tweak, you know, at least bring that into college football to give you a little bit more flexibility.
Yeah. Now that it's more of a defined role, it's a newer position, but it's been a defined role for years now. So it would kind of make sense to get it into both games. I'm kind of surprised Madden hasn't done it yet already. But any indication, I think it's going to be a part of maybe both games this year.
What's interesting with these posters, and you guys let me know what you think of this. I kind of thought, what's the goal of this? Yeah, is it fan service? And that's kind of my initial thought, maybe to try to go viral on Twitter and on Reddit. Because on these posters, there's no link to their social channels. There's no link to a website. There's nothing about a release date. Initially, when these posters went up, I thought, okay, maybe we're going to have an Easter egg or maybe some kind of first information on it. And there really wasn't. I mean, they're cool posters, don't get me wrong. However, it seems like the goal is really just to kind of go viral and kind of almost a nod to the fans. Years ago, when the game first got announced, JB and I, one of the first shows back, we said we hope to goodness that maybe EA this first year coming back to the game, they can really, you know, build the game with the community as they do it. Well, we didn't get that, at least for year one, but maybe on the marketing side, we're going to get something unique. A lot of sports titles are very vanilla with how they market titles. So I think even something cool like these posters, which a lot of them have already disappeared and gone into local frat houses. but I mean, it is, in my opinion, something cool and different than what we get from a lot of sports and just video game titles in terms of marketing.
You got to wonder if it's also brand awareness because, you know, how many of the kids that were 8, 9, and 10 years old were playing NCAA football or were they mostly playing Madden? So you got to kind of wonder if it's also going to be kind of more brand awareness at the bigger universities as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. It's every bit of an attempt to get marketing from a viral perspective. There's a lot of effort that went in to have these printed, to designed and everything like that. If they only released, you know, the four posters per school, then that's a lot of effort for each school. Yep. And then obviously having to have somebody, whether they mailed it to somebody on site or whatever, however they got them distributed, to have them actually put up on campus. Obviously, every place I saw it was in kind of a temporary place, like the Texas one we see. It's kind of on a boarded up window or something like that. So, or a construction site or whatever it is. It clearly was intended to be very temporary and very kind of jarring, I guess, to catch your attention and allow, you know, fans to speculate, hey, what does this mean? And you know, oh, they've listed all of my favorite players on the poster already. Then that's that's all the more reason I'm ready to buy the game.
We had Mr. Goodnight reply to us on Twitter, and he said, why are they putting these posters in dump areas? And I thought that was funny because a lot of them are on plywood over windows or doors. And on Reddit, when it came to the Texas one, as you can see in my backdrop, somebody, if I remember correctly, they said that they knew this location. They said it was a building that had a fire, if I remember correctly, had a fire at one point. I believe it might probably an empty building because the one that's over my left shoulder, as you look at me, and that's over, it looks like it's over a door. And the one on the right looks like it's over a window. So that very much looks like a closed building of some sort. There's several other schools that look like they're basically under underpasses, basically. So I would love to know
the game's under renovation. Game's under renovation, under construction.
It's under construction. Yeah.
Yeah. It's being renovated.
Maybe they're appealing to the trolls, putting these under bridges, all the trolls who might be coming out later. I would love to know like the whole marketing, how they did all this, like how they lined this up.
Yeah, for sure. It's a sort of guerrilla marketing. I mean, just throw them up. Obviously, clearly they had no approval to do it, but they're also very temporary. It's not like they're permanent additions or anything like that. So, you know, it takes all of 10 seconds to rip it down if they decided to do so. So, it is definitely something just to kind of go viral and do exactly what we saw, you know, different people kind of playing, trying to find it around their campus and, is my school got it or not or whatever.
Let's see, Joe Johnson, who did that mock-up of the Florida State Special Edition from several months back when we talked about it on the show, he went and he took a selfie in front of the Florida State ones. And on Reddit, I saw an Alabama fan who went down and took a selfie with two of the four remaining at the time. So, I mean, some guys, I think that was the appeal.
Well, and there was a Ohio State fans that stole all four of them and put them up in their apartment or whatever. So, I mean, they've got a video of them walking around the apartment looking at all of the different posters throughout each room or whatever. So
that's funny. I wondered if at some point they would be sending them out to influencers. Like Matt Brown, I'd be shocked if he didn't get an Ohio State copy at some point. I mean, I hope EA thought and did that ahead.
And maybe that's the $100 version. That's the physical, you get one of these 15 teams or something like that.
Yeah, that'd
you
be
know.
Cool.
Yeah.
Or if they put them online just to download for fans. Fans would eat that up. Because the ones, like I said, of the school-related assets, I think are the cool ones. You know, just the logo at the top and, for example, like the Texas flag or, the Notre Dame helmet. I think those look sharp no matter what.
Yeah.
So when can we expect news? That was another round of rumors several weeks ago. Matt Brown again on top of it. I believe initially it started as this information was kind of put behind the paywall on his Extra Points blog. But unfortunately, as soon as he puts that stuff there, people see it and they just start putting the information out there. He believes mid-May is when we'll start getting official news about the game, and then mid-July will be the release date. And I believe even today on Feinbaum, he came out and said that what he has heard is the 19th of July for the release, but again said, do not book your PTO yet. That may not happen until EA says it's going to happen. But the mid-May is interesting because we've been told, obviously, from that teaser trailer, you know, full reveal in May. Guys, what do you think we're going to get? Do you think we're going to have to wait 2.5 more weeks to get information? And if so, no matter what the date is, what do you think we're going to get first exactly? Is it going to be some guys online, I feel like they think they're going to get like a massive, you know, all the information at once. I don't know if I would bet on that.
Yeah, my first thought is to have a trailer that just kind of announces that it's coming and that the game's coming, but then they do releases, you know, once a week or a couple times a week or whatever it is of particular features to kind of cover, you know, kind of dump all the features that they know everybody's expecting. Online Dynasty, Ultimate Team, you know, create a playbook, whatever it is, kind of dump those out as quickly as possible. And then especially starting in mid-May, they can start having players in their marketing videos, because by then, by as of tomorrow, all of the players would have completed their signatures. So, you know, that's what I think that's part of the reason why they're waiting until May, is to make sure that their marketing can include the players that they want to include.
You know, it'd be kind of cool if they, you know, where they were setting up all these posters, if they were actually filming and say you have like an old CRT TV and you're sneaking in some gameplay, you know, so you get those eagle-eyed people that are breaking down this new trailer that may come out in a couple weeks, frame by frame, seeing gameplay kind of in a SD format before they actually kind of release it. I think it'd be kind of a cool tease, especially with the theme of this being in rundown or constructed areas, and maybe, you know, just have a broken down TV or something, kind of teasing gameplay, showing gameplay, but you can't really see everything in it.
JB putting that marketing degree to work.
You put too much thought into that. That's my initial thought is that when we get the information, I would expect a blog, maybe an introduction from the development team, whether it be the creative director or maybe the executive producer, somebody just saying, hey, we're here, we're back, maybe an introduction. And I would just personally, this is no inside information. You know, Matt Brown's been through the looking glass. We've talked about that in the past. We can't even see the looking glass from where we're at.
But I would
expect maybe an intro blog and maybe a gameplay blog and maybe a feature blog, but then more than likely a schedule of when future perhaps live streams will come out, like they do with Madden.
They normally kick things off with a screenshot a lot of times.
Lot of times, yes. But then technically you could say we've already had that. We've had the mascot screens. We've had the in-progress Michigan stadium screens. We've had the teaser trailer. So it's one of those, normally I would say yes, but I think maybe in a way you can argue we already had that. That's my thought, is that we'll get a little bit first, but I don't think we're going to get everything. Maybe we'll get some of the buzzwords like Online Dynasty, but maybe the details come later.
Especially in the, you know, so much different social media, like TikTok or YouTube was there, but it was, you know, just a few years into its existence. TikTok's here now. Instagram is bigger and more widely available than it was back then. So, you know, there's a lot more things to where they probably got to do something in video format.
Do you guys think it'll be mid-May, or do you think we'll get it before then? I know the rumor and speculation has been May, so that's what obviously the betting odds would be. It wouldn't shock me if they get something a little earlier, but I don't know when.
I don't think they'll be completely radio silent till, call it, May 15th or whatever. I think that they'll probably, as early as May 1st, they'll actually start having some trickle of information. Maybe it's a couple of screenshots of current players, you know, in their gear or something like that. Who knows? Again, it's, I think that they're going to have some information coming in the next few days, personally. Again, this is 100% a guess, but it, you know, people are waiting for it, and they've basically said come back in May, so May's just around the corner.
You know people are going to get ticked off if they have to wait 16 days through May.
Yeah, so why, absolutely.
Do something small.
They're going to get ticked off on the second.
We'll get ticked off on the second. Don't be blaming the fans. Yeah. We're in that same group. You know, when you say May, I don't think and obviously they want to space things out. If they start in mid-May, I don't think they're going to do that whole release then because they have 2 months until
they
the
haven't even tweeted
out.
Since the 4th of March either. So,
yeah,
so
I said the big push cannot be, or the big push can be middle of May, but you have to at least kind of acknowledge the game again at the beginning of May, because you said, hey, come back in May. Well, if everybody comes back in May and it's radio silence for 2 weeks, then, you know, people are going to lose interest.
We'll get the game's not coming out on time, which
exactly
I know some people don't like that, but I completely understand the community's mindset on that.
Yeah,
and I agree with it, but I
agree.
Get it.
Yeah.
There was a tweet that came out a couple weeks ago from One Team Partners. It has since been deleted. I don't know if a lot of people realize that. But One Team Partners, who was helping EA gather all of the players' likenesses to be in the game and their rights, they tweeted out that 12,300 plus players had opted in. Right off the bat, Pepe Schultz responded to us through our Twitter account and said, what's going on? What is that? That's like 100 players per team. What's going on here? Because all the speculation early on was that EA was going after just the 85 scholarship players per team. That tweet has since been deleted from One Team Partners, so we don't know if that means that number was wrong. Maybe EA didn't want that out. Maybe it wasn't accurate. Who knows? I don't know. But let's just say for the sake of argument that the number was correct. I have not heard if the Service Academy schools ever figured out a way to get the player likenesses in the game. I figured if that had been resolved, we would know about it. So if you do the math on, you know, 12, three divided by 131 teams, that's about 94 players per team. So that's gonna be about 9 guys at least per team that probably are not going to be in the game, but at least they're available should they, you know, something in the depth chart shake out or something happens throughout the year. And again, as we record this, deadline is April 30th. One Team Partners did several days ago retweet that back out to remind players that that deadline is coming up fast, and hopefully if they want to sign, get in the game, they have signed up. Guys, what do you think about quickly that tweet? Why do you think they put that out, and why do you think it was deleted? I know it's all speculation, but it's really interesting that that's a massive number. So was that not – and Matt Brown has said that he was told that was not Ultimate Team players. That was current players. And I initially thought, I bet that's Ultimate Team players, and apparently that was not the case.
So the only way I can make the math work is that it's not just FBS players. I mean, you have to take into account that – FCS players can transfer up to FBS schools over the summer or something like that. So, you know, there's no reason that they couldn't have signed that agreement as well. I mean, there could have been, you know, a couple of thousand FCS players that said, hey, I have a chance to go to an FBS, so I want to make sure I'm in the game, you know, that kind of thing.
Boy, wouldn't that be something if the FBS was in the game for some in some capacity too. But I'd assume that it's got to be accurate since they're the source. I think they were just told not to let that go yet, considering the deadline is, you know, a day from when we're recording here. So I wouldn't doubt that it was accurate. I think it's just they probably weren't supposed to do it this soon.
Yeah, I think for one thing, it kind of leads to speculation. Like, what does that mean? 94 players per team, you know, that kind of thing. But then as well, you know, it can let people run wild with it that, hey, you've got an agreement from the backup punter for Hawaii. Why is he not in the game now? You know, that kind of thing. So it is something that I imagine EA wants to control that message more themselves. They didn't want One Team Partners actually releasing that out. Otherwise, EA would have released it themselves. So it is a very big number. It's a very surprising number to have that many. But again, to me, the only way the math works is if not FCS schools, but FCS players have signed an agreement.
And Matt Brown did. He was on a BYU radio, ESPN radio affiliate. He had said this was about a month ago, but at that time, he had said that he had heard that a lot of the players who had opted out were, I believe this is his wording, not mine, were low-level guys. There were not a lot of Arch Manning sitting out. A lot of it was guys who might be fourth, fifth, sixth on the depth chart in some spots. So those were the guys who had not signed on. So I know we've only heard Arch is the only one that's really stood out as the only top star player. And who knows, maybe he's in the game now. We don't know for sure. But I know about a month ago, Matt Brown was on ESPN radio and said that. Believe the big name players are in. They expect about 95% of the players to be in. It was the low level guys who are kind of the holdouts right now.
Have we ever heard anything back about Shadur? I mean, I know that there was talk about him having a special agreement to get him in the game or something like that, but I don't think we've ever heard.
No, that he was the one who I think very early on put out that mock of a cover with him as the cover athlete. And I believe that the text on the Instagram posting was something along the lines of EA do the right thing, if I remember correctly, but that was deleted. And I don't think I don't know that he's ever posted anything regarding EA ever since. So, I mean, I suppose that could lead some critics to make you think, oh, yeah, he's going to be the cover athlete, but also could say, well, there's no deal there either. Now, if Colorado had those posters and his name was on it, that would sure clear up a lot. But again, until we find out he's in the game or not, I don't know. It was a very weird deal how he put that fake cover out, the mock-up cover out, and then it just disappeared, went into the ether.
Kind of on that same note, you know, just like Arch Manning, I'm surprised that more reporters didn't ask about, hey, are you signing up for the game or something like that? I mean, spring football, you know, has been wrapping up. So I can't imagine that there weren't more reporters saying, hey, are you going to be in the game? And then us here back, yes, no, haven't decided, whatever it is. You know, that's the only reason why we know about Arch is because he said no to a reporter or the rumor came out or something like that.
Matt Brown did talk about this a little bit. This was kind of a follow-up to the One Team Partners tweet that was since deleted. He said people should not be worried about their favorite players being in the game. He said he texted some mid-major school officials, and it looked like they expected their school to have more than 100 players who have opted into the program, which would include walk-ons, he says. If you're curious, folks are telling him that some of the schools with the highest percentage of athletes opting in include Florida, BYU, Texas Tech, Boise State, Clemson, Alabama, Georgia Southern, and Wisconsin. Within the industry, there's a confidence level north of 95% of players would be signing on before April 30th. He says in there that 12,300 number did not include ex-athletes for Ultimate Team or a Legends mode. He's also has athletes who are not current FBS football players would have a different licensing agreement. So, again, a massive number, but apparently they're taking anybody who they feel are key contributors. But we got to think, we talked about this months ago, there's a lot of schools, they have more than 85 scholarship players in a way because they're using NIL to kind of add in more players. So there might be guys who in the past were definitively scholarship players, but now they're getting paid via NIL. So you almost have to go above and beyond the 85 scholarship to get the, you know, the true contributors and the true players on each team.
And plus, you know, how many college kids are going to wait to the absolute last minute to do something?
I don't think it's that many, to be honest with you. I figure if they haven't done it by now, they're not going to.
Yeah, I mean
this was the easiest $600 they'll ever make.
There'll be a few stragglers that said, oh, I meant to do that before, or you know, their buddy says, hey, you didn't do this, why not? Or whatever. there's going to be some last minute additions, but again, I think it's, you know, it's not the high profile ones. The high profile ones are worried about their image and wanting to get into the game as soon as possible. So
it's kind of odd. The lower profile ones don't want to just get a paycheck that'll
maybe they
a few $100 could go somewhere for them, you know,
but maybe they felt they had one foot out the door. They wanted to wait till the portal closed, or maybe they find out if they have to hit the portal or not before they signed on, even though that doesn't really matter because it sounds like EA, if you hit the portal and go somewhere else, you're probably still going to have a good chance of being in the game. But maybe they knew their portal wasn't going to be, you know, FBS to FBS. It might be FBS to FCS or retirement or, you know, a different level completely. Matt Brown also talked about it since our last show, a report that some bowl stadiums may not appear in the EA Sports College Football 25. What he talked about here is that every home venue, like basically FBS stadium, will be in the game. Every NFL stadium will be in the game, which makes sense because they EA has the rights and likeness for the stadium for Madden.
And it's so already they've already got the rendering for it. So
generally speaking, that makes sense on why they would have those stadiums. But however, you start thinking about, okay, what stadiums would not be in the game? We went through and looked at some of the bowl games that could be affected. Obviously, the ones that are MLB stadiums make a lot of sense that they probably would not have those. So we don't know if that'll be a generic stadium. We know all the bowls will be in the game. EA has said that several times, and we've seen that on social media. So I'm assuming generic stadiums. The one stadium that really kind of stands out to me is Camping World Stadium, which is in Orlando, Florida, home of the Pop-Tarts Bowl and also the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. I got to think, given the proximity to EA, that could be the exception to the rule that that might have been scanned and added into the game, given that it's a home to two bowl games and just so close to EA and where they developed the title. That's the one that might be the exception to the rule, but we obviously have not heard anything to confirm or deny that.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you can go do that on your lunch break and come back to work in the same day right? kind of thing. So
what's the primary use of that stadium?
I think it's
exhibitions
soccer.
Like this. Soccer. I think it's these games like this. Maybe concerts. I'm not sure about that, but I don't think it's no college, obviously, home stadium. It's more
that's not the MLS stadium, is it?
I could look. I don't know, to be honest with you. But some of the other ones, obviously the Bahamas Bowl, the Frisco Bowl, Camellia Bowl, Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Again, well, those are baseball stadiums, so I completely get that. Also, when we kind of start thinking about it, does this mean that neutral site games are not in the game? Now, granted, a lot of those are played in pro stadiums, which helps. So when we started to go through the list, there's obviously two that stand out. The Aviva Stadium, the Aer Lingus College Football Classic in Dublin, Ireland, which unfortunately, it makes a lot of sense. They're probably not going to go to Ireland to scan a stadium. As cool as that stadium is, I can understand why it may not be in the game. And then you have the old Cotton Bowl. Again, I got to think that's an exception to the rule, given just the historical relevance of that stadium and of that rivalry with Oklahoma, Texas. I got to think it's in the game. But again, that doesn't fit into Matt Brown's, what he was told in his report about being an FBS home or being a NFL stadium.
Well, and plus the other side of it is that EA has more offices than just Orlando. I mean, yeah, EA Sports is primarily out of Orlando, of course, but they have other offices like in Austin and places like that, that they could say, you know, hey, you know, you've got the technology. Here's what we need you to do. Go out here. We've got you booked for a day and then just scan the stadium or whatever. So again, Austin to Dallas, no, that's not around the corner, but it's also not, you know, impossible to go and do it within a few days.
And if they don't have like a neutral site variable for gameplay, are they going to really worry about it and just have it be whoever was set to be the home team is going to be the home team for that?
That's a good question, because the game definitely needs a revamped neutral site system between the bowls and neutral site games, period. Will we get it in year one? I don't know.
Yeah, I think they would have to almost. I mean, the kickoff classic, I mean, yeah, again, I don't expect to have the Ireland Stadium in there, but, you know, the Chick-fil-A kickoff game every year, first weekend of the season, you know, that's kind of a big one that it's always got a huge matchup. So I think you kind of try to get that in.
Or they just have a generic neutral stadium that is used for all the neutral games that are not, you know, that are, say, in ballparks or places they didn't get to scan. Maybe they just have a placeholder for all the neutral games.
Makes you wonder, because I can't think they build each individual one, but you would hope they'd have a little bit of variety. I can understand all the baseball stadium ones looking alike, but I wouldn't hope that if the Cotton Bowl was a generic, which I don't know that I would guess it is, but if it is, I hope it's not the same as, say, you know, Petco, for example.
Or the Pinstripe Bowl.
Right.
Yeah, because didn't NCAA baseball have a few stadiums, but then had like a kind of had 5 to 6 different generic ones as well?
I believe so. And I know like the basketball titles in the past in college did that. They'd have maybe 20 authentic, and then a lot of the rest were just generic, the same generics. The courts would be different, but the venue was the same. They figure you're not looking in the crowd for the most part, so you wouldn't know necessarily. This was an interesting piece that came out. A Missouri reporter used, I believe, what they call for their state's sunshine law, and was able to find that this was a piece of correspondence that we believe EA sent to the University of Missouri, maybe to sign off, to give them a status update on development of the game. Not really sure. It's Missouri's Faurot Field in various stages of lighting. It's pretty interesting that you got some daytime, you got the nighttime, you got the different angles of the field here. To me, it screams, I was something just to maybe an update or permission on it. Guys, what did you think of this? And I know it's probably a little tough to see on your side, but I'm kind of shocked that this didn't open up the floodgates for more reporters to go do this, because this is pretty, I think this is cool. I don't know if every viewer or every listener is going to think it's cool, but I think it's cool to see this.
Well, and I saw the article from the Missouri Reporter, and he had submitted that request like months earlier, like in January or something like that, and then just got it back. So even if after this broke, if they started making requests, they may not get it back until, you know, June, July or something like
that.
That's
true.
So
some of those, but those schools are very slow. They drag their feet if they can.
On purpose, yeah. But yeah, definitely. But to me, if I'm not mistaken, just a couple of weeks ago, Missouri also made an announcement that they're doing renovations, and they had a rendering. It wasn't the same exact pictures, but it to me, that would be my guess. It's not that EA said, hey, this is what it looks like in the game. Rather, Missouri had their mock-ups ready for what they're doing to their stadium, and so they generated 3D renders out of their software or whatever it is to be able to have these designs and send to EA and say, hey, this is what we're doing with our stadium.
I didn't think about this until now, but I mean, did anybody fire up 14 to kind of see how, if there was much change on the right, basically the right end of the big M there? I believe that building to the left has always been there, but I was kind of wondering if that is that stuff on the right, all those buildings in the background, are those kind of newer? Were they in 14?
That's a good question. I would have to fire it up and look. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, I didn't even think about firing up 14 to see. I think that building to the left is older because I think that was in the game, but I can't remember about stuff on the right.
So what's interesting also is that about the time this came out, there's an article that talked about how before this season, so in a matter of months, Missouri wants to, and I don't know if you guys, can you see the mouse on the screen if I wanted to point this? Okay. If I understood it correctly, I'm going off memory here, so please forgive me, Missouri fans, if I'm wrong on this. Before the start of this season, the 2024 season, Missouri wants to have a bigger video board. And I thought it was weird that I couldn't find any mock-ups. And finally, maybe a couple weeks after this, the call went out for bids. So that it's somehow they're going to get the stage one of their renovation progress or process. They're going to get done here before August. Maybe it's not that difficult to just pop in a bigger screen. I would think that'd be a little daunting. But then also those plans, I think you were talking about, Tommy, that I believe it's in this same end zone. Like they want to add in, like, I don't know if it's suites or boxes, but there's tiers, because I remember some fans online saying, just tear out that dang M and be done with it. But they're obviously not going to. That's part of the, you know, the tradition there for them with that rock there, with the limestone, I believe. But I've seen mock-ups where there's going to be basically, you know, it looks pretty cool on the mock-ups. I don't know if it's a suite, like I said, I don't know if it's, but it's something pretty fancy here. And the berms obviously still exist through all of it.
Is the other side newer than 10 like years?
Right there?
No, yeah, that video board there, that section.
I believe so. I would have to go back to look. I know this is the correct field art.
Because that's kind of similar,
I believe.
Yeah, that's kind of similar to like Nebraska set up with the suites underneath the big video board. I cannot remember how that was not in 14, no, I don't think.
I know when I looked up about their renovations, and especially on the screen renovations, I saw some of that. I think they've done work since 14 came out. I would have to double check, but I believe you're correct on that.
I mean, I can't say for sure, but I would think that in 10 years ago, they didn't have that ultra wide screen that they have there in that mock-up. So,
no.
I mean, those are kind of relatively new, I would say, in probably the past 5-7 years. So, yeah, I would have to say that's new in terms of comparing it to 14.
And one thing I've seen a couple of Missouri games last year. And a couple of pictures I looked at, and maybe they're outdated. I don't think last year they actually had any kind of ads or decals on this brick wall by the M. Like I thought I looked, you know, did an image search over the last X number of months, and that brick wall there is clean. And for some reason in these here, it's not clean. Now, whether that's something new for this season, I don't know. But I thought it was interesting that, and I don't know, maybe it's an ad, maybe it's not an ad, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's some kind of banners. I can't, it's really tough to tell. But in real life, the images I found, that brick wall is clean. And it very much in this game is not clean. So it'd be interesting to see come the retail version, what they have reflected. The video screen, I'm sure they've got mock-ups to do it, but I wonder if they will just wait until next year to get that in there. But again, this is pretty interesting that the reporter is able to get this. I think this stuff's cool. Be nice if we get more, but I think we're getting so close to launch. We're probably not going to get any more schools like this.
And you said that's probably to be installed for this season?
The plan, and I read it several times, I could not believe it. The new video screen here will be this year, but I believe it's also this same end zone that in 2 or 3 years, they will have the like a whole new building or structure back here. So maybe that's because they were just taking bids for the new video board, like as of like maybe less than a month ago.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's got to be a quick process to get that, not only the bid accepted, but the screen installed before, you know, think about it. We're, you know, pushing the 1st of May and the season. Mm-hmm. I don't know when Missouri's first game is, but I'm going to guess it's end of August, early September is their first home game. So that's not much time. I mean, as soon as that bid gets accepted, it's time to go down to Best Buy and get the new big screen and pop it in, pop it in the stadium.
I like how the lights are on in the rooms and also in the suites.
Yes. That always makes a little, I don't know what the word is, but yeah. One thing I did notice is that we've got some kind of stripe out sections going on here. But when I looked online, that's not, maybe I'm wrong here. When I looked, that's not actually a template they ever used for stripe outs. Not the biggest thing in the world, but if you're a Missouri fan, you would know that. So I'm sure that I'd be interested to see if that's something. Can we select color outs?
Penn State?
Are they going to, you know, is that selectable? Is it something where they pick just, you know, a previous template? Is it just randomized? What is it? I forget what the exact templates were, but you Google it. I mean, it's not difficult to find. You can find almost every school that's ever done a color or stripe out because they put the maps online because they want the fans to get it accurate. And this was something that when I looked Missouri, that wasn't accurate. But obviously, it's in progress. It's not anything close to final. So who knows what it'll be come July.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool to see whiteout at Penn State at night, mm-hmm. you know, in 4K in the game. That'd be kind of a fun place to play.
And that it is for, like, you know, the one night game a year. It's not every time you play at Penn State. You know,
yeah, it's got to be
the
special.
Right time. Yeah.
Yep.
And let's talk a little bit about some more team details that came out. We shared this. This is Will Simons. He had found out from USC Southern Cal, some of the assets they submitted for the game. And I think a couple of these aspects are worth noting. Maybe it means something bigger as well. First off, the whole roster seems to have either opted in or plans to do so. I think I want every school in there. I don't care if it's, Southern Cal or South Carolina, who it is. The USC helmets will feature the V victory emoji on the front and fight on the back. He goes through a bit more here. The uniform, some of the rivalry games. Granted, just because it got submitted does not mean all this will be in. I mean, we got to take that, remember that with everything we hear. It talks about the Coliseum. They'll have the recent renovations. They submitted assets related to the lighting of the torch at the start of the four, some of the songs. Past assets and roster information have been sent to EA. What I thought was interesting was that no Traveler or Lincoln Riley. Lincoln Riley is not a big shock because we know that coaches are not going to be in year one. He adds, for the time being, could be added later on, no Traveler, and that is the horse that the Trojan rides in on. I'm going to make a guess here, or maybe just throw out a hypothesis. Does that mean no moving mascots? If you go back to the teaser trailer, we saw a lot of physical assets, and we know in the past when they added in NCAA football, you know, when they added in the moving living mascots, they had said this was a little bit more work because we wanted to animate them and get them right. Do you think maybe this could infer that year one, we're not going to get any moving animal mascots just because it's a little more work to get them in? I know it's an assumption, but it makes me when I see that, it makes me wonder.
Florida State will probably be in.
As you say, I think they could reuse the 14 animations. Yeah, obviously have, smoother and kind of tweaked, but at the same time, just a matter of having the horse run out, they could easily do that. The same with, you know, Colorado having the buffalo run out. They could reuse that from past games and just kind of give it a quick tweak and still call it good. You know, update the assets, the graphics and things like that for the model, but the animations could just come straight across.
Going back up to where he was talking about the trophies, you know, it'd be pretty cool. I think it was something they did way back in the past where you could play for trophies against people. So if you had like your own trophy case and then you play a friend and you put that jeweled shillelagh on the line, you know, it'd be kind of something cool that they could put in there as kind of a way to add a little extra spice to an online game between friends or something like that. I think would be kind of a cool idea to do.
That's on the PS2 versions did better, generally speaking, with having the trophy case and the trophies. I think PS2 started with it, but then I think they dropped it later on. But the PS2 version was always really good at having all that in there. And the last thing we want to get to on the show, there's some rule changes have changed or been actually passed and implemented that'll be happening this season. In my opinion, the biggest one, and I know there's several of them, you know, obviously the use of basically iPads on the sideline, for example, and in-game communication to other big ones. But I think the one that actually is going to affect the video game is the two-minute warning at end of the first half and also end of the game. A lot of the fan speculation and criticism is they believe it'll be extra commercials. I've heard that they're saying that maybe not in year one, that there's been some claim that no, we're not going to add more commercials. I'll believe it when I see it. It's probably going to be an in-game ad. But anyway, regardless, what are your guys' thoughts on the two-minute warning? And I'll tell you mine real quick, because I heard this on a local radio station. They were talking about just the real-life implementation of it. They asked a former coach, what are your thoughts on this? And he said, I can tell you right now what your thoughts going to be. The first time you win a game with a two-minute warning gives you the ball back, gives you that basically that free timeout, and you win, you're going to think the two-minute warning is great. And I think that same logic is going to apply to the video game. The first time you lose a game, because you couldn't run off the clock because that clock stopped at 2 minutes and you had to punt it and you lose it, you will say this is the worst addition to this is the worst rule addition they ever could have done. That's my thought on it. I know that's a bull going around on a limb, but the first time you either win or lose a game because of it is when the real opinion will be formed. Wow, this is awful or this is great.
Well, it's not like a brand new concept that just came out of nowhere. So it's only been in Madden forever. So
I was going to say, yeah, it's, I think everybody for the past 10 years, if they've been playing Madden, they're completely used to it. So
that's true.
I mean, yeah, it's something that's, you're right. Somebody's going to complain, why did I lose this game because of that 2 minute warning or whatever? Yep. And, damn you college football. But at the same time, it's something that I think
in a way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I think there's going to be a bigger controversy in Madden with the new kickoff rules. Somebody's going to probably lose to that more than
that. I can see that too.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting to see how they do it. But going back to college rules, like you mentioned, the on-field communication, to me, that gives an opportunity for EA to have the animation of the quarterback putting his hands up to his helmet, trying to listen to the call come in and things like that. I mean, it's, it'll be interesting to see how that comes through because, again, that's brand new. So EA is going to have to kind of try to predict how it's going to look and feel in the game before it comes out in real life.
This is a dumb question. This wasn't the communication. How much communication wasn't there before? But I know there's games I watched last year where I thought it was really weird that college quarterbacks were heading into the huddle like this. I'm not saying that some schools might have skirted it. Am I missing something there? Or do you think some schools may have been playing with it and never admitted it?
You would have thought that somebody would have been caught if it was not legal, though, by now.
Yeah,
of course, it's probably just loud environment.
Could be. I swear I've seen the home teams do it. I'd have to go back and look at some old games, but
be ballsy.
It's neither here nor there, but
you get caught with that, you'd probably would have been up the creek.
There wasn't any conferences like or FCS schools or something like that were experimenting with it. Were there?
This was an FCS. FCS team.
Okay.
I know. Maybe JB's right. Maybe they were trying to mute up the crowd noise as they yelled at their teammates in the huddle. But it sure reminded me of the NFL. A lot of times when sometimes they will very much, push the speakers into their ears so they can hear the coach a little clearer. So it's interesting, these rule changes. I believe Matt Brown was the one, of course, he has all the information, so I'm just going to assume he said this at one point or another, way back when the rule changes were being proposed, had said that EA already had said that they are, kind of working with these in mind, knowing that very well could be implemented before the game came out. And here we are now, the two-minute warning, which probably is relatively simple logic, being like you said, I said Madden has it, but at the same time, another new thing that's going to be in the game before it happens in real life.
The other one that we didn't touch on is the unlimited transfers. You don't have to worry about getting approval for a second transfer or anything like that. So EA, I'm assuming that they were prepared for that, but that's got to be something that you've got to build into your logic about, wanting to transfer 2, 3, 4 times, whatever it is.
And some of those guys, like between basketball and football, are going back to their previous school. Which, it's 3 years ago, you would have thought, no, don't put that logic in. Well, now it's very much that there's a chance guys could do that. And I've seen that, like I said, in the last just a month for both college football and college basketball, which I think
we're
either going to
have a lot of fun. We're going to either have a lot of fun or we're going to be pulling our hair out at the transfer portal.
Or both at the same time.
But yeah,
that too. I mean, it's gonna be very exciting to see how this is implemented into the game now that it is wide open. And I think it's gonna be just, I think I, you know, I want to kind of guess. I think it's gonna be just as fun as the coaching carousel. I'm gonna guess when it
That's the
comes
goal,
to
obviously. That's the
putting
hope.
this
Yeah,
into, yeah.
exactly. To me, yeah, it's a little bit of a roulette wheel. I mean, obviously you're recruiting and you're trying to pitch these guys, but at the end of the day, you still have to kind of hope that they choose you and everything. I mean, unless you're Nick Saban trying to get that cornerback from Toledo to come out of the into the portal early or something like that, then otherwise, yeah, to me it's a little bit of luck of the draw on some of this.
Well, with that, we're going to wrap up this edition of the Gaming Tailgate podcast. Let us know your predictions for the cover athletes. We know the kind of the guidelines Matt Brown has heard from, which we believe indirectly from EA. Also, let us know what news do you think we're going to get first and when. I know we all want every feature right away, but realistically, what do you guys think you're going to get it and when? We would love to know. Also, again, help us out. However you're listening or watching, subscribe, leave a 5-star review, share it. Whatever you can do to help us out helps us out more than you could ever know. For Tommy and JB, I'm CDJ. Everyone, we will catch you on the next edition, hopefully with game news of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast.